The following talk, entitled I Let Go, So Now What?, was recorded on the 22nd of October 2023 and was presented by ministerial candidate Julian Harvey.
So, just a quick, and you guys online, if you want to pop your hand up, I'll see it. I'm assuming that nobody has been through any major changes recently. You guys haven't changed. There's been no changes in your life or circumstances anywhere? No? Okay. So what sparked this was obviously, as you are all aware, my son Sam has moved to Canada and he left about 3 weeks ago. And that's thrown some things at me that I knew was coming and I knew was available, I knew was going to happen, but it's been interesting watching my inner journey and my how I've been dealing with that process within myself. As those of you who are parents will agree with me, you can stop the parenting side of things, but you can't stop, for me, fatherhood or motherhood in other cases, but you can't stop. You'll always be a mother and I'll always be a father. And, you know, Sam, as many of you know, lived with me from the age of 7 permanently. So in many, many respects, I've done both sides of that coin. I've had to nurture and care for him and look after him and make sure he's fed and make sure he's, you know, washed and clothed and all that sort of stuff. Luckily, I haven't had to do that for quite a few years. Because he's 6'3", so it's a bit hard to wash him when he's 6'3". He can do it himself. So what I found was is that it was quite a, it's quite an interesting process of going through that transition from a certain lifestyle and a certain way of acting and a certain way of being to that not being there anymore. And It was a process of knowing it was going to happen, but it still had an effect on me. It still hit me that I no longer have to do that anymore. And it was quite interesting. The first week or week and a half or so when he was gone, I was still going, I was driving home from work. So what used to happen was is I would drive home from work. And when I was driving home from work, I'd go, oh God, what are we having for dinner? And then I would, before getting in the car, or I would ring him in the car and say, hey, do I need to stop at the grocery store and pick up anything? And he said, oh, yeah, we're out of this, we're out of that, whatever. And one of the things was is that it was like, oh, hang on a second, I don't have to do that anymore because Sam had very specific food requirements for a variety of reasons. And it was based around texture. He couldn't eat certain foods because he didn't like the texture. So a lot of the foods that I really like, he couldn't eat. And so I've had, 20-odd years, if not more, of catering to his needs food-wise, for argument's sake. Just to give you an example of one thing. And so now I get to choose what food I want to eat and I get to choose how I want to live. But it wasn't that easy because it's been so long that I've been operating out of one structure that I suddenly realized that I had no clue what that looked like. I had no understanding of how does this now look. So because of the studies that I've been doing and the things that I've been working through over the last few months, obviously one of the books that has come across my path several times is the book by Robert Brummett called Finding Yourself in Transition. And I've read that book before, and I've even did we did a class quite a few years ago. We did a class on finding yourself in transition, and you know, there was a lot in it at the time, and I got a lot out of it. But what I realized was is that there were aspects of the change of circumstances with Sam that I hadn't done yet, which was part of that letting go of the need to feel responsible for his life. Have you know? The responsibility of his life. So looking at his life moving forward, I don't have to be responsible for that because he's responsible for his own life. You know, I can care about him and I can love him and I can you know, help him where I can, but it's not my responsibility to be responsible for him. So one of the things that came up in regards to that is that at the same time, in my job, I'm going through a huge transition there because we developed a whole program based on doing face-to-face forums. And now the company has decided, the organization has decided that we need to change that. And now what we're doing is we're developing a three-month leadership pathway for entry-level leaders. So it's a very different process and it's a very different way of looking at it because we're also having to take into account the fact that we're now working for learning and development at a learning development cohort. And that means that we have to comply with all that learning and development stuff, which is, you know, adult learning requirements, looking at core capabilities. So there's all this technical stuff about the job that we have to look at. So it's a very different way of looking at what we're developing. And I noticed that I had a lot of resistance to that. I had a lot of resistance to that because the resistance was, well, I really liked what we developed before. My ego got in the way. My I know what I'm doing type of ego got in the way. And I realized at about the same time, or just after Sam had left, I realized that I was going through all this turmoil, both at work and both at home, about stuff. And what I needed to do was I needed to let go. I needed to go, hang on a second, I don't know what my life looks like moving forward. I don't know how this is going to work out, but I need to let go of my ego's demand to run everything. Okay, I needed to give up that attitude of I know best or I know what next looks like. So it was interesting because one of the things that I looked at next for me was, okay, well, what I need to do is I need to sort out my house. I need to get my house looking the way I want my house to look now that I live on my own, because I'd had a 25-year-old and he had his room and he had his stuff. And so I now had all this extra space. And I also, you know, had furniture that I needed to move around and do all that sort of stuff. And so what I realized is that as I was doing that, as I was walking around, I'd pick something up, I'd look at it and I'd go, oh, I don't need that anymore. Let it go. So I let it go. And I worked through this process of changing my house around and changing my environment. And I realized, or as I was doing that, obviously one of the things I had to do was clean up, you know, the amount of books I've got. And I've got books everywhere and I was moving my office and doing all that sort of stuff. And that's, of course, when finding yourself in transition went, hey, you need me. Have you ever found that? You know, you don't know what you're looking for, and suddenly a book or a movie or a video or somebody makes a comment and it goes, and it's saying to you, hey, you need me. So I looked through this and I thought, well, hang on a second. I did a talk a while ago about dealing with change. Okay, so I did a talk about that and dealing with change. But what I didn't go into, and it was about the sort of the first part of the book, but what I didn't recognize or what I didn't realize at the time of that talk was about the fact that what happens once you let go, once you kind of go, yep, you know what, it's in divine order, it's in divine timing, whatever that looks like, however that works, and you let go, what does that look like? And what was really interesting is that finding yourself in transition is broken up into three separate parts. And the first part is about looking at transition and dealing with transition. The second part is about finding yourself in that space that once you're going through that transition and you find yourself in that sort of space of what next, that you're technically going through a process that is that Robert Brummett aligns along the side, talks about. And he relates it to the Exodus story in the Hebrew scriptures. So he looked at the Hebrew scriptures and went, well, hang on a second. This is about what happens to us when we're going through a transition. So metaphysically, He looks at looked at the interpretation of that process. Now, as a quick reminder, and I'm not going to go into the full story, because if you want to go into the full story, there's a whole bunch of stuff in the book. But the people of Israel are at this stage in Egypt. And then through a series of events, they're led out by Moses from that. And then there's this period of time where they're kind of wandering the desert, kind of not knowing what to do, and they're wandering around looking for that. Now, what was interesting was when I was reading what Robert was talking about, and you know, I pulled out the study Bible and I had a look at it, what was actually written in the study Bible, and I was reading through that and getting an idea of it. And yes, the story in the Bible is dramatic and it's got a lot of things in it. There's battles, there's armies, there's floods, there's dividing the river and all that sort of stuff, because that's what storytelling is. You know, if I just said, oh yeah, well, they left Egypt, they wandered around for a while and then they found Israel, wouldn't be a real story, and it wouldn't, you know, wouldn't encourage us to think about it a bit more. So it has to be that. But what I realized is that it also relates to an ordinary situation. It relates to any circumstance you might find yourself in. It relates to any belief that you might be wanting to look at changing, or a belief that you want to, you know, looking at that belief and going, hang on, where am I coming from with that? But it will also help you with thought patterns and any sort of form of condition that you might be dealing with. And so when I looked at that from that perspective, I realized that the story of being in that period of the wilderness, being in that process of, well, I've let go of the old, which is moving out of Egypt. It's moving away from the old consciousness to moving into a new consciousness, but I don't know what that new consciousness looks like. And I don't know where it is or how to process that at this stage. So again, one of the things that came up for me is that I had a lot of feelings going on. And I'm not frightened of feelings. The feelings that were coming up for me were, I felt lost. I didn't have that anchor of the old way of doing things. I didn't have that anchor of, oh, leave work, ring Sam, find out what's for dinner. Okay, I didn't have that. I didn't have the anchor at work of, oh, yes, we developed this program, now all we're going to do is re-deliver that. I didn't have those holding me in that old pattern. And it was like, oh, I get to change, or I get to look at what's next. How does that look for me? So one of the interesting things about the chapter is that Robert Brummett talks about that the story of the Moses story and the story of them moving from Egypt into the wilderness is about the transforming power of the transition process lies not in our arrival somewhere, but it's in the as some form of destination, but it's in the process itself that the learning comes and the change happens. Does that make sense? So it means that it's pretty much like, you know, the physical, you know, we start out as kids, we start out as babies, and we learn to grow. It's not about the fact that, you know, we get to 80, 85, 90, whatever it is, and it's time to transition to the next whatever comes next after that, and go, wow, I made it. I'm here. It's about the journey. It's about the process. It's about, what do I learn on the way? How do I grow? How do I become who I become? So that when I get to that point and stage where I can go, I have arrived at whatever that is, I've learnt that through the transition of the process that I'm going through. So the next sort of aspect of finding ourselves in transition is that, okay, so you've kind of let go and you kind of know that you don't know where you're heading or where you're going. And the book talks about the fact that you're in what Brummett calls the void, which is really interesting, because the void is also talked about by the Fillmores, in that it's that space in between everything. It's the space around. And quantum physics has backed that up in understanding how quantum physics works is that there's this sort of void, but in that void is a whole bunch of energy that works through. And as we know, I've certainly been taught by unity teachings that the universe doesn't like a vacuum. It has to fill it with something. So the void, even though you find yourself in this sort of plane of, oh, I don't know what I'm doing, I don't know where I'm going or what's happening, that's actually the beginning of the creative process. It's the start of the what's next. So it's celebrating the fact that you are in that void process and that you're now at the beginning of what's next. So obviously when we talk about the creative process at Unity, we also talk about the metaphysics of Genesis 1, verse 2, where it says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now, yes, we've talked, people have heard the terminology, the dark night of the soul, that darkness that we have. So it's always darkest just before the dawn, those sorts of analogies that we use across the board. But the void is very much a part of opening yourself up to accepting the changes that are coming or the changes that are available or possible for you once you connect to divine source to understand what your next looks like. So Paul Hasselbeck teaches, when he teaches metaphysics, and I teach the same thing about this thing called the infinite field of potential and possibility. Now, some people call that infinite field of potential and possibility God. They call it spirit. They call it divine ideas, divine mind, whatever they call it. But it is that field where divine ideas are always available. It's whether we tap into it or not that's the challenge. So understanding that we have this access to, when we're in the void, being open and receptive to the what's next and being aware of the fact of, oh, that's where I am and that's okay, being in that void process. So the first sort of few days when I said goodbye to Sam and hugged him goodbye at the airport and then I drove, I realized that probably not a good idea for me to go home. So I went to work and I put the whole thing, I really did, I put the whole thing on hold because I knew that if I went home there and then I'm not sure how long it would be before I would go back to work. For a variety of reasons. So I went to work, I did that. And then, as I say, there was a sort of period of time where I was just wandering around the house. I would get up in the morning and I would wander around the house. I didn't change anything, I didn't do anything. And when I was doing the research for this talk, I realized that I was very much in that void wandering space. But what I started to do after a couple of days was I started going, oh, I actually get to have fun changing however this looks. Instead of staying stuck in the, oh, he's gone, I'll miss him, all that sort of stuff, I can change how this is going to look. It was really interesting because it's been, as we all know in Australia, and I'm not going to get into it, but in Australia it's been a tough week. For a variety of reasons. And what was interesting was yesterday when I was doing some research about this stuff, the Kevin Carmody and Paul Kelly song popped up into my Google search at one stage. And it's a story about a guy called, he's an Indigenous man called Vincent Lingiari. And the song is known as From Little Things, Big Things Grow. And it's a song about how Vincent made the decision that things needed to change in his world and in the world for Indigenous people. And he's the gentleman that started the whole process of acknowledging and giving land back and the whole process that ended up in the the Mabo agreement. So Vincent's actually the guy we should all be recognising as starting that. But in the song, it talks about from little things, big things grow. So it was talking about how, and it is, you know, it's, I mean, if we wanted to put it into a biblical thing, it's a real classic case of David and Goliath. It's the big mining companies and the big owners against, you know, the little guy on the land. So it was interesting about that, okay, well, I don't know what the big picture is going to look like. I don't know what my whole life is going to look like. I don't know what my project at work is going to look like. But why don't I start with something small? Why don't I start with just going, okay, I'll change this room around, or I'll do this, or I'll do that. And slowly over a period of time, it's evolved into now I have my own space. I have set my house up pretty much the way I want to. I had a fun Thursday, last Thursday, because there's a whole bunch of food that I know I don't want to eat and it's not healthy for me and not good for me, that's sort of partially opened or whatever. And I just sat in front of my rubbish, in front of my cupboard with my rubbish bin going, that'll go, that'll go, that'll go, that'll go. And I cleaned out my cupboard in more ways than one. And it was just a little thing, but now I look at the cupboard and go, oh, I get to fill it with food that I do want to eat that is healthy for me. Okay. So that's, you know, that's the goal. So in the Exodus story, the tribe of Israel wander around the wilderness for 40 years, which metaphysically means that we, that the process is going to take an unknown, indeterminate amount of time. So we know that metaphysically when they use 40, it means sort of in its time. So, you know, Jesus went into the desert for 40 days and 40 nights and argued with the devil, which is a whole different conversation, which we won't get into. But, you know, he went in there and it was arguing with his negative self, with his consciousness. It was arguing with what was going on. And that takes however long it takes. You know, when we're arguing with old patterns, when we're arguing with old thoughts and ideas, it takes a little while to get through to the next stage where we go, I no longer believe this, or I no longer want this, or this no longer serves me, and therefore I get to change it. What you do have to understand, though, and this is a really important part, and this is something that I'm really focusing on at the moment, is that I'm making sure that I'm not trying to find a quick fix. I'm not trying to find the immediate solution. I'm not trying to find or force myself into the immediate circumstances. Brummett uses the example of a man who divorces his wife and then gets remarried shortly afterwards, and the same thing happens. It's the same situation. So all that's happened is he's just changed who he's doing the relationship with. He hasn't changed his consciousness about relationships. Years ago, I heard a great statement about the fact that the definition of insanity is repeating the same thing and expecting a different result. It's that sort of thing. So I don't want to repeat or recreate the same situation that I had with, say, Sam, with somebody else, or some situation or some circumstance that's the same, where I'm having to cater to something else's needs. I want to be able to live my life in my way now for the first time in a long time. So it's about understanding that that this may take a while. It's not going to be a quick fix, and it's going to be okay to deal with that in that way. So I truly believe, certainly with the Sam situation and my home situation, that I've let go of some of the, I've let go of a lot of that old stuff and that old way of being, and that I'm now looking at moving forward. Again, what I realized was that I can change all the external I like. I can, you know, put my bed in this room. I can set my office up here. I can, you know, organize all my books. I can do all of that. But that doesn't change how I feel about myself, or it doesn't change how I think about myself in that instance. And so I have to look at inwardly at myself and move myself from those thoughts of being a parent and the parenting side of things and let go of that aspect and then just be who I am as a single person, which I have not done for a long time. I reflected a couple of weeks ago, somebody asked me how long since you've lived actually alone and without a flatmate, without a partner, without my son. And I realized 1983 was the last time I actually lived alone. So it's a huge change for me, working out how do I want to spend my time? What do I want to do? So I have to work on the internal side of who I am. What is it my spirit is saying to me is my next? What is my growth process? What am I going through? And what do I need to do to get where I need to go? And of course, it came up with the unity stuff. Immediately, it came up with the unity stuff. I need to spend more time in meditation, contemplation. I don't journal. I've really struggled to journal. It's a part of my process that I've really struggled with. But when I was sorting out my books, I'm pulling out journal book after journal book after journal book that people have given me or I bought for myself. And I've gone, I think I need to journal. And so I've started that process of journaling, looking at it. And I'm not journaling for any other reason other than I need to get the thoughts out of here and onto here because that's another way of letting them go. It's another process of that letting go process. So it's really important that we need to understand, and as we know, or hopefully we know, you may not, but hopefully you know, certainly I know, that transformation is a normal, active part of being on the planet. It's who we are. Transformation is a death and a rebirth, but you need to understand that it will happen. The rebirth will happen. So that introspection about looking at what's going on within me, I had to ask myself some questions. But the questions I asked myself, and I was really careful about this because I didn't want to ask questions like, oh, show me what my next desk is going to look like, or show me, you know, what food do I need to eat? My questions were more about how do I want to feel and how do I want to be moving forward? What sort of feelings, what sort of thoughts, what sort of beliefs do I want to have moving forward? What do I want to experience more of moving forward? Because really it's been curtailed by what I have to do, the sense of duty to being a parent. So I started thinking about, well, I want more joy, I want more love, I want more abundance, but I also want more insight, understanding, you know, I want more knowledge. And starting to think about those goals instead of where do I want to live, how do I want to live, you know, what sort of car do I want to drive? I have to be very careful about not being too invested in specific solutions. And allow that infinite field of potential to do its job, to provide me with divine ideas, with divine consciousness, allow divine mind to do its job because that's its job. My job is to go, this is what I want to experience more of and allow that to happen. And so, you know, Unity gives us a multitude of tools to be able to do that. Obviously, being aware of how your body talks to you. So being hyper aware is really important. Understanding the awareness factor, being vigilant about how you're feeling through the process, acknowledge those feelings, feel those feelings, and allow them to guide you and help you through the process. And then, of course, it comes down to meditation and affirmative prayer. Praying with affirmative prayers, you know, we pray for those things like more joy, love, abundance, those sorts of things. So looking at the processes of affirmative prayer. So what's my next? I don't know. it's a real case of watch this space moving forward. Hopefully, it'll be an exciting, and I think it will be an exciting and interesting venture, because what I get to do in the future is discover more about me, discover more about who I am as a spiritual being, because as we say, we're 100% spiritual, but we're also 100% human, and we get to live from that spiritual side more and more the more we learn how to do it. So recognize when you are in transition, when you've had a transition or you're going through a transition, recognize the process that you're in and love and respect and understand that process. And remember to let go and let divine mind do its thing. So I want to take you now into a time of meditation, contemplation. Allow yourself the energy to move forward. Feel your body relax. Feel your energy relax. Feel your connectedness to the divine spirit. And if you're in that process of transition from one state of being to another state of being, you've got a situation or a circumstance that you're moving in through and as, recognize the desire that this brings forth for more joy, love, abundance, health, wholeness. And take one of those thoughts, one of those ideas of what you want more of in your life as you go through the transition, and hold on to that thought as we spend some time in the silence. And living, loving spirit, we thank you for this time in silence and gratefully receive the joy, the love, divine wisdom, divine understanding as we go through this journey of understanding the spiritual self. And we know that the truth of who we are is ever present and always available. And for this, we say amen. And so it is. And so it is.